Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in our gospel story, we rejoiced to hear Jesus speak about the rock upon which the church was built. We listened and we heard Jesus as he reminds us that the rock, the foundation of the church, is God's love, especially the love that is shown in Jesus' own life and living. But then we also listened and celebrated that Peter, good old Peter, Rocky, was also that rock upon which the church was built. And we celebrated that fact because that also means that we're some part upon which God's church is built. God's love and the followers of Jesus. These are the things that we look to in order to realize God's grace and then God's call to all of us. It's just that in Matthew's gospel, in the very next paragraph, Peter puts his foot in his mouth yet again, and we're right back to where we started from. This morning's gospel is quite literally the next paragraph. Right? It could have been later that same day when Jesus was praising Peter. It could have been 5 minutes later, for all we know. It could have been the next morning or afternoon as they were continuing to walk towards Jerusalem. But the amazing part is that it is so soon. No sooner has Peter declared that Jesus is God's son, God's chosen Messiah, and Jesus has to turn and scold him. Believe it or not, that too kind of gives me hope because I can be just that same kind of foolish and weak and all of that. And Jesus still loves Peter even when he's that foolish. But you see, what Jesus is trying to do in this morning's gospel story is teach the disciples the truth about Messiah. He's trying to show to them the depth of God's love that he, Jesus, is bringing and sharing and showing to anyone who will watch. Jesus begins by telling his disciples that they are heading to Jerusalem, not in order to kick Rome out, not in order to end the reign of whoever's high priest at that time, but rather because Jesus must undergo great suffering and be killed and on the third day be raised. This is what Jesus is teaching them and telling them. And the disciples' world is rocked to its core because it's so very different from the understanding of Messiah that they and the world have been holding on to. You see, God's promised Messiah has been a part of Jewish teaching and hope for centuries by this time. This promised one was thought to bring together the holiness of Moses, the might of David, the wisdom of Solomon, the comfort that is found in all of the other prophets. This Messiah was supposed to be a prophet, a priest, a king, a general, and an all-around good guy. All for the sake of God's people. The Messiah was supposed to cast off and cast out all of the enemies of God's people, the oppressor, the conqueror. And that's the image that Peter and the disciples have been holding in their minds since they were little boys. This is the image that they've been projecting onto Jesus the entire time they've been following him. You see, they see Jesus' goodness. They see the comfort and the mercy that he brings to all of the people who come and find him. And so as they arrive in Jerusalem, those disciples are expecting that the priest and the general and the king would show up in Jesus and that they would usher together God's people into a new golden age. Jesus is killing that dream as he teaches them. Because for Peter and the disciples, messiahs don't suffer. Messiahs aren't killed. What's going on? And you see, this is why Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter thinks that he knows what a messiah is like, and Jesus isn't talking about that. We also know what we expect from our Savior. We want peace. We want fortune and glory. We want ease in our life. We want God to respond to our requests, to forgive our mistakes, and then to kind of let us alone as long as we're doing okay. Peter gets it wrong. We can get it wrong. Because we think we know what Jesus is supposed to do better than Jesus does. We think we know what God is supposed to do better than God does. Today, Peter is rebuked. We also can be rebuked. When we let go of God's love and we try to make our own ideas most important, we are rebuked. When we try to make someone else's ideas more important, God tries to shake us up and show us the way, which is the way of the cross, never the way of glory. See, that's what Jesus leads us to in that next paragraph. After he rebukes Peter, he says that life as a child of God, life following Jesus, is not about ease or wealth or positions of power and authority. It's about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus into the world in love and service. Jesus has been teaching and showing that his ministry as Messiah and as God the Son can lead to suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus tells us then that our lives might be filled with just those same things as well. The good news I get to share is that Jesus tells us that he is leading us into this new life, this life transformed by the love of God. Jesus is willing to go first. He doesn't say, hurry up, go try that, I'll be here watching. Jesus goes first. Way back in the beginning of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus denied his obvious hunger. He denied an attempt to use sort of flash and notoriety as a vehicle for his ministry. He denied his own comfort and safety, all for the sake of us. In this moment, the tempter returns. In our gospel story, the tempter returns using Peter and the others as that vehicle of temptation. And Jesus once again turns it into a moment to show us the true power of God's love, a power that strengthens our life as we live for others. In Romans, Paul has been reiterating all of this kind of teaching from Jesus. Last week, he urged us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by God's love. He has begged us not to think too highly of ourselves. And this week in our reading, Paul shows us what our lives, what the lives of those who follow Jesus can look like to the world. As we follow Jesus, as we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, we can let our love be genuine, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, extend hospitality to strangers, live in harmony with one another, and if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is how Jesus is calling us to live. This is how it is that we get to try and live. This is the life to which Jesus is leading us, the life that Jesus is showing us as Messiah and Son of God. You see, the rock, the foundation of the church is God's love. It's God's love for us all in Jesus Christ, and it is us. We are the church. When we get it right, we're the church. When we mess it up, we are still the church. And as the church, we get to go into the world carrying our cross, ready at any moment to suffer for the sake of another, to love as Jesus loves all of us. That's what it means to be a child of God. It's what it means to follow Jesus. It's what it means to be the church. It's not ease or glory. It is caring for one another, caring for strangers and new friends, caring even for our enemies. You see, we are called to love God as God and not only a dispenser of heavenly goodies. We are called to follow Jesus on his way to the cross and not just for the Palm Sunday parade. God looks at us all in love and beckons us to see the world as he sees it. We are urged to share God's vision of light and love for all people and then make that vision our daily mission. We get to try that right now, today, because it can never be too soon. Amen.